John and Gina. I didn't know Gina was a part of that. Kathy says hi to everybody. So I wanted to get that out of the way. She's been in the States for 10 days now, the longest 10 days of my life. And I have plenty of crispy M&Ms, peanut butter, I'm okay, some bagels. But people have been very kind to offer me food and help me out. But Kathy is doing well. The baby was born. The grandchild was born, 8 pounds, 5 ounces, and even gained a couple more pounds. So little Peyton is doing fine, and Kathy's enjoying her time with Heather and the family. So we just thank you for praying for her, and pray for me. I am missing my best friend. So let me ask you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. It's really going to be called the promise of answered prayer. We're talking about prayer all month. God laid a message on my heart because I feel I was so inadequate in this area of how do I get these answers to prayers. God's promised us answers to prayer. And would you say Jesus had a successful prayer life? I mean, can you remember a time, can you read in the Bible where his prayer wasn't answered? I mean, Jesus always prayed in the Father's will. He was never prideful. He was never selfish. He never prayed for things that were carnal. He always was asking for the will of God to be done in his life and to do the will of the Father. So Jesus always got answers to prayer. And he promises that we can have answers to prayer. In Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 6, the Bible says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word of God. I thank you, Father, for each soul that's here. I pray, Lord, that as you minister in the Sunday school classes and in the creche, that you would minister here, that you would, Holy Spirit, put this upon every heart, the need to trust God and to ask according to his will. And Father, that we might see our prayers answered like your son's prayers were answered. So Lord, please help me now and help me to preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Hold your finger here in Hebrews chapter 11 and just go over to John chapter 8 for just a second. I want to read a verse to you. Jesus got answers to prayer. Why? John chapter 8. And in verse 29, John chapter 8, verse 29, "And he that sent me is with me." You know, our prayer verse for this month is, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you." "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." That's why Jesus got his prayers answered. He was doing the will of God. And faith, back in Hebrews chapter 11, faith pleases God. A life of faith pleases God. Some of the problems that we find in our own prayer life is that we don't read his word. It's just simple things that keep us from getting answers to prayer. We don't read the Bible. I asked a young man the other day, I asked him, I said, "Did you read your Bible today? Are you reading your Bible?" He said, "I read my Bible every Wednesday without fail." And he had a time. And I wasn't going to trample over that young man's heart. What I said was, you need to read that Bible every day. Once a week isn't making it. You need to meet with God every day in his word. And I can guarantee you that there's a percentage out there greater than you think of people who are not reading their Bible every day. You have got to start right here. The problem is that we don't have our prayers answered because we don't read his word. And God has given us a full account of who he is and his ability and his power and his promises are right here in this book. And this is where we need to start. And this is the thing we forsake most, the Bible. We don't know His will. We don't know what God has said. We don't know what God wants for our life. But if we read His Word, we would know what God has said and what God wants to do in our life. But we've forsaken the Bible. What does my Father want for me? What does God want for you? He wants the best for you. He wants His will in your life. He wants to accomplish His will in your life. And that is the best thing that could ever happen to you. We don't have any confidence in Him. Why is that? Well, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How can you have faith in someone you don't know? You don't know Him. We don't understand His will. How can we have faith in someone that we don't know? Spend time with God. Will He do this in my life? Can He do this? Does He have the ability to do this? Is this what He wants to do? How do you know? How can you have confidence in someone you don't know? We just don't know Him. A child should grow up and know who his mom and dad are. And know what pleases them. And know what they like and what they don't like. We don't know our Father. And we don't love Him or obey Him. John 14:15. You know that verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. 7 words. That can say a whole lot about a Christian's life. If you love me, if you say you love me, keep my commandments. We just don't love Him or obey Him the way we should. These are the problems why we don't have answered prayer in our life. And it starts with reading our Bible. And we don't talk or spend any time with Him. Every Wednesday is not going to make it. If you only spent every Wednesday with your wife or your husband, things wouldn't last very long. Or with your children, or the children with their parents. We've got to spend time with God. There's too many distractions, too many worldly pleasures, too many things that take our focus off of God and spending time with Him. Things, the Bible calls them. Neither the things that are in the world. We're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. But that's where our focus is. That's where our love is. That's distracting us from time with God. You know, it's very simple. Our faith plus His will equals answered prayer. That's a promise from God. Could it be that simple? It is. Right here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You have to know God. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He will reward faith. Now I want to look at prayers of faith. And God is pleased with a life of faith. A life that is pleasing to God is one that's guided by faith. One that's trusting in God. I mean, it's just like a child and their parent. I remember when I was very young, maybe 3 years old, I began to swim at an early age, 3 and a half. I was already swimming. Because of 3, my father, I would always be down by the pool. My father said, come on, jump in, jump in. And I was so scared because I couldn't swim. The water was over my head, even in the shallow section of the pool. He said, come on, jump, come on. It was my father. And finally, I just jumped. And he caught me. And I trusted him. We ought to trust our Father that He's going to catch us. We have to have faith in the Lord and trust Him. Now, there was a time when He said, come on, jump. And then He moved. And I went into the water. And I learned how to swim. He helped me. He grabbed me under the stomach and He watched me around the pool. Yes, I trusted my dad. And we need to trust our Father. We need to have confidence in God. First, in our worship. I want you to see this, that practical, obedient faith pleases God. And faith is developed and strengthened by obeying God's word. God wants faith in every area of our lives. And He wants faith in our worship. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. I mean, Abel and Cain are two brothers, and they're both fallen sinners, and they're told to bring a sacrifice. One did God's will and brought the right sacrifice, which was a lamb. He brought the blood. Cain came by his own works. He was a tiller of the ground, and he brought his own works, his own vegetables and his fruit to God, and God had no respect to Cain's offering. But he had respect unto Abel's. Why? Because Abel listened to his father Adam and did what he was told to do, and he listened to God, and he obeyed God's word and brought the right sacrifice. You know, if you're not saved here today, you can't bring the sacrifice of your good works to God. God does not respect your good works in order to get to heaven. There's only one thing God respects. It's Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins. And that is the dying Lamb of God and the blood shed by the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And the only way to please God in our worship is to come to Him by faith, trusting in the Lamb, trusting in Jesus Christ as a Savior. You will not get to heaven by your good works. You will not please God in your worship by worshiping the way you want to worship like Cain did. And he got angry. And people get angry today because they want to come to God, they want to be saved, they want to know they're going to heaven, but they want to work their way to heaven, and they cannot do that. The only way to heaven is by faith, by trusting in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And even as we come to worship this morning, we don't worship in our own way, we worship according to the book. There's a lot of churches that are out there worshiping whatever the way they want, in their own works and in their flesh, and it's carnal worship. It doesn't please God one bit. The heart, led of the Spirit of God, is what pleases God. When the Holy Spirit leads our worship, we need to be careful that we're worshiping right. We're worshiping God right. I mean, if we're going to start with a life of faith that pleases God and get our prayers answered, let's start with our worship. But also our walk. Look in verse 5. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You see, obedience. Just simple obedience pleases God. When our children obey us, that pleases us. Enoch's daily walk, his very daily life of obedience to God, pleased God to such a point where he said, I'm taking him out of here. He never saw death. Enoch was translated, raptured right out of this world. Why? Because he obeyed God. He simply obeyed God. That pleases God. That shows faith on Enoch's part. That's what the Bible says. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Why? Because he walked with God. He obeyed God. That's what faith is, you know. Faith acts. Faith acts according to God's word and obeys God. He trusted in God's way and obeyed it. Are you obeying God today? You say you have faith? Is that faith causing you to walk with God? Are you obeying the Lord in these different areas of your life? In your daily walk with God, are you trusting God? And then our work. Look in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. In our work or in our service, Noah heeded and obeyed the warning of God, and it prompted good works, service. Noah's fear of God and service saved his family, saved his very family with the ark. How's your service today affecting your family? Mom, Dad, are you serving the Lord? Do your kids see you serving God? How is that affecting your family? Do you fear God to such a point that you say, I need to serve God? I fear God for who He is. And by faith, Noah, being warned of God, is not seeing yet, but he moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his family. How's your service every day for God? How's your work for the Lord? I mean, all this happened because he lived by faith. Do you think Noah had a good prayer life? I think he did. I think he talked with God. Faith pleases God. So the question is, where have you left God out of your life? In your worship? In your daily walk? Or in your service to God? You've left God somewhere out of your life? You need to search your heart, because he is pleased with a life of faith. God rewards a life of faith. I mean, you simply have to trust him. I call it wheelbarrow faith. And the reason I do is because I found this little article. It says there was a Frenchman by the name of Jean-François Gravelet. Excuse my French. He was the most famously known as Charles Blondin, or the Great Blondin. And he was famous primarily for his tightrope walking abilities. In 1859, he came to the United States, and one of the feats he performed there during his stint there was to be the first person to walk on a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. It was nearly a quarter mile long walk, and about 160 to 200 feet above the water. He did it in front of some 10,000 people. Actually, the rope was set up across the river just below the falls, but there was certainly a lot of danger there. Well, actually, it wasn't enough for him. He went back and forth a number of times, each time with a daring feat, once in a sack. I don't know how you walk a tightrope in a sack. Blindfolded, on stilts. This really happened, by the way. This isn't just some story. On a bicycle, and with his manager on his back, and once while pushing a wheelbarrow across. When he got to the other side with the wheelbarrow, he asked the audience, "Do you believe I can carry a person in this wheelbarrow back across?" The crowd responded with an enthusiastic, "Yes!" He then asked if someone would step forward and get in the wheelbarrow. No one did. You see, the people believed that Blondin could do it, but no one actually trusted him. There's a difference. You can believe God for a lot of things, but until you act on faith, faith puts some action to your feet and your hands and your prayers and your daily walk and your worship and everything. God rewards faith. Faith isn't just sitting there. It's getting into the wheelbarrow. It's doing something. I don't want faith that just leaves me where I am without acting on the promises of God. I mean, many people cry out, "I believe, but help my unbelief." We need to start with some small things in our life and just trust God and watch God answer our prayers. You need to believe who he is. This is real difficult stuff, isn't it? You just need to believe who God is. And the only way you're going to know that is to look into the scriptures and realize that God is who he said he is. He does have that perfect character. He is the Word of God. He has power. He has ability. He can be believed and he can be trusted. He can do the things that he says he can do, because he is who he says he is. Do you believe that? You must trust him. You must get into the wheelbarrow, but you must come to him with dependent, childlike faith, the same way a child trusts their father. And you must diligently seek him. You know, real living faith, like I said, acts and asks and seeks and knocks. Real living faith goes after those things. Real living faith responds to the promises of God in the Bible as he reveals his will to us. It makes me think of two brothers, or they want to go to the movies, and Dad said he might take us, and they're wondering, well, we need to ask him. We want to see that movie, and the one brother says, "You ask him," and the other brother says, "You ask him. I asked him last time." "No, you ask him. No, you ask him. Somebody ask Dad, because Dad might want to take you to the movies, but you have to ask him. You need to seek him." You need to go and ask the Father for the things that you need or that you even want. You need to ask. That's a promise. He will reward. He will reward. He says he will reward that kind of a faith. Do you want to answer prayer? There's a promise. God will answer prayer. The second thing I want you to look at is a submission to his will. A submission to his will. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And in verse 14, 1 John 5:14, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything According to His what? Will, He heareth us. Does He just hear me? Well, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. We have the desires. What we ask of God, He will answer. If He hears us, He answers. His will must be done, though. It must be according to His will. You see, Jesus had the right attitude. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. He had the right attitude in prayer. So, why wouldn't we ask according to His will? You say, I do. I think I'm asking according to His will. If you are, then why are you not seeing answers to your prayers? Is God just telling you to wait? Or has He already told you no? Or maybe you're just not asking according to His will. You know, many times we just don't want His will. We just don't want the will of God. You've already made up your mind. I don't want what God wants from my life. I want to do what I want to do. Well, guess what? You can do that. And you will reap what you sow. That's another law of God. But if you want His will, He will reveal His will. But most people just want their own way. They've got their life planned out. And the last thing they need is God stepping in and telling them that this is what I want for you to do, not what you're doing. The reason we don't get answers to prayer is because we're not in submission. Not just surrender. I'm talking about He is the Lord of my life. I don't make Him Lord. He is Lord of my life. He is the King. He is the Master. I am to be in submission to His will. I need to want His will. We don't know His will. There's no Bible. Again, back to these basic things. You're wondering why God's not answering your prayers. There's just some basic things. We just need to submit to God's will and have faith. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. There's no questions or doubts in that verse. It shall be done. What do you need in your life that God already knows about? Would you just surrender to His will? Would you ask by faith? Ask, seek, and knock. We're going to look at that. Or maybe you know and you just refuse to obey it. See, some people don't want to know to begin with. I kind of thought these two go together, the first and the third. But some we know and we just refuse. Some don't want it right off the bat. They don't want to know God's will. But others know it and then they refuse to obey it. Knowingly disobeying God's plan for your life. And you want your prayers answered? God says, it's my will that needs to be done. You know, we're just like our children. They want to do what they want to do. They won't listen to mom and dad. They want their own way. They're stubborn, and so are we. They're rebellious sometimes, and so are we. We are rebellious children. We pout and whine when we don't get our way, just the way the kids do. But God has something good for us. God gives good gifts. And we should ask forgiveness, really, for our attitudes before God. Maybe that's where we ought to start. On our knees asking forgiveness for our bad, pouting, murmuring, grumbling attitude instead of being thankful for what God has given us. Because God only gives good gifts. God doesn't give evil gifts. Everything you have that's good is from God. A submission to His will. I'm getting used to this thing still, you can tell. This is the first time here, and I did it at night, and I'm not used to this, so. Sometimes there'll be a blank screen, and I'll be talking away, and there's like five or six things going on. I think I'm doing okay, though. When God hears a prayer, He answers a prayer. Now, that's a promise from God, if He hears. You see what it says in verse 15? And if we know that He hear us, because we've asked by faith, according to His will, that whatsoever we ask, we know that we have that petition. Mark it down, God will be God. If He says He's going to do something, He's going to do it. We're the ones that hold back the prayer, not God. you see. Because we know he hears prayers concerning his will. All right, let's try this. Why don't we pray, ask God to give you some people to witness to every day. Do you think God will answer that prayer? Absolutely. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said in John 20, well, I don't know all about that, but I'll talk to you about that after I'm done preaching here. John 20:21 says, Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. What I'm trying to say is, what kind of prayers are we praying? If you ask for this, God will give you somebody to witness to every day. Whether it be in a restaurant, whether it be in a filling station, whether it be on the job, whether it be down on the streets of Cork. You ask God to give you somebody, and 1,000 will pass you that day. The people that you can talk to. Ask God to help you serve Him more and love Him more and walk a little closer to Him. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, before you fall asleep there. Turn the pages. Deuteronomy chapter 10. I'll tell you, when you're all alone, I'm learning a little bit about that. You know, not only my prayer closet, like John told me, my whole house is a prayer closet now. I can't go anywhere where there's somebody. If there is, that would scare me to death. If I walked in the room and saw somebody, that would... But my whole house now is... It's empty. I'm alone, and I'm in my prayer closet. And it makes you think, what am I praying for? I want my prayers answered. So I guess God spoke to my heart and said, I promised that I would answer your prayers if you prayed by faith and according to my will. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I have commanded thee this day for thy good. Do you think God would help you serve him better and love him more and draw closer to you if you asked him? Come on. Yeah, I believe he would. Because he said that's what he's requiring of us. So if we ask for something that he's asking us to do and wants us to do, he will help us. He will answer that prayer. It's a prayer answered. Ask God to open the scriptures for you. To understand the Bible. Psalm 119:18 says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. If you ask God that I want to understand the Bible better, do you think he would answer that prayer? He promised to answer it. He will answer that prayer. You say, there are prayers that I can pray that God's going to answer. In fact, he's bound by his own character, by his own word, and promised to answer those prayers. It's what kind of prayers are you praying? I did add one more. If you ask God for some specific time with your family, in the Bible, and with your wife, in the Bible, do you think God would answer that prayer? I'm sure he would. Because in Deuteronomy 6:7 it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, the law of God. Parents are to teach their children the law of God. And if you ask God, help me to have that special time. Move me in that direction. Help me, Lord. God would give you that special time. God would open up that time. You ask and seek and knock. The problem is that we ask amiss. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Pastor is in Sunday school today, so we're going to be here about 2 hours. Let them see what the Sunday school teachers go through when you don't know when it's over and you're trying to figure out another game to play and you run out of everything and say, just sit there and don't move. We can all leave. We don't have to tell them it's over. We can just go home. Yeah. So anyway, James chapter 4 and in verse 1 it says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. And that's the problem. We're just asking for the wrong things. We're asking for evil things. If they were good things, God would give them to us, because God gives good gifts. But we're asking amiss for things that may hurt us and for things that we want to consume upon our own lusts, our own desires. That's all. You know, the problem is we ask for what we want from God, like he's a genie. You just rub the lamp and he gives you three wishes. Aren't you glad God's not a genie? Most of the things you have that are not good for you, you got them. God didn't give them to us. We got them all on our own. We had enough euros to go out and buy what we wanted and do what we wanted. In Psalm, you know, just hold your finger here. If you go to Psalm 17, verse 1, I wrote this verse down this morning, and I'm still trying to get a grasp on it, but it's amazing the way David prays in this one prayer here in Psalm 17 and in verse 1. He says, "Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips." Whatever he's asking for, whatever he's crying out to God for, he's not asking amiss. He said, "Hear the right, Lord. I'm asking sincerely, and I'm asking something that is just and righteous, something that will please you. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips." This is a sincere, genuine prayer from the heart of David to God. And I think God's going to answer that prayer. But we want what we want from God, you see. We strive in the flesh, and we want more of the world, and it causes nothing but heartache and trouble in our lives. But it seems like we want more and more and more of this world, and not one bit of it has ever satisfied us, when only God can satisfy the heart and our soul. Only God can do that. It brings conflict in our home, and it brings conflict in the body of Christ, and strife and fighting, because that's what the verse says. Why is there fighting and strife among you? Why do you war with each other? Because of our own lusts, because of our own desires, to consume things upon our own lusts and desires. We want to do what we want, and we want God to answer our prayers for what we want from God, you see. They're selfish prayers is what they are. They're selfish prayers just to please ourselves. Stop praying selfish prayers. Verse 3 says, you ask and receive not. It's because they're selfish prayers. God's not giving them to you. They're not our needs. They're not things God wants to give us. God doesn't give evil gifts. Look, we're in James. Just turn back to chapter 1 and look in verse 17. Just go back to chapter 1 of James and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, no changing, neither shadow of turning. God gives us good gifts, but we ask amiss. We ask for gifts, things that we consume upon our own lusts. That's why we don't have the things many times that we want. We wonder, where's God and all that. God doesn't give evil gifts. Our problems are brought up by our own sinful desires to feed a fleshly lust. Things don't satisfy, as I said, only God satisfies. So this carnal, worldly focus on things needs to go. It's always going to lead us to misplaced prayers, prayers that are asked amiss. So the answer is to ask according to his will. You have to ask according to his will, and he promises to answer. Now I want you to look, number 3 is to remember the relationship that you have with God. And turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We ask by faith. We ask according to his will, in submission to his will. And we need to remember the relationship that we have with God. If you're saved here today, he is your Father. your Heavenly Father. If you're not saved here today, He is your Creator and your Judge, but He wants to be your Savior. You will not come to Him like Cain, you can come to Him like Abel, trusting in the Lamb, trusting in Jesus Christ. But you have to remember the relationship that we have with God, and that is, it's a father and a child. Now, look at verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? I mean, come on. Don't put God in a box the way we look at our parents, or the way we looked at our childhood, or the way you look at yourself with your own children. God is greater than that. God always gives good gifts. God always gives the best. God never gives in to those whinings and grumblings and murmurings. God always gives us good things because you have to remember that relationship. This is our Father in heaven. And we cry, Abba, Father, in reverent. He's my daddy. And He loves me. You know, I see in here a progression of real prayer starts with just asking. Having a real desire. There's things that you may have not even asked for. Maybe you're afraid to ask. But you have to have a real desire and really trust Him and ask according to His will. But you have to ask. Do you realize there's things that you want you haven't even asked God for? Like the two kids arguing. You ask them. No, you ask them. You have to ask God. A real desire from your heart. Because He says everyone that asks, what? Receives. So why are my prayers not being answered? Maybe I haven't asked. Maybe I just haven't spent time with God asking for His will to be done. And if they ask serious prayer, the Bible said back in James, you have not because ye ask not. Who's at fault here? It's not God. It's us. We're not asking. Simple. You say, I know these verses. But have you asked? It's as simple as that. Have you sought after it? To seek means to search after the will of God. Search after that thing you're asking for. Seeking those things that are His will for your life. Have you ever done that? Have you ever asked? And then have you sought after? Because if it says it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find. So God's given us a promise. If you do seek after it, you guess what? You will find it in prayer. You will find it. God's not hiding His will toward us. I'm going to hold my finger here and go to Jeremiah. If you want to turn there, I'm just going to read this verse of Scripture. Jeremiah 29. You know this verse. We'll start in verse 12. Jeremiah 29 and verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me, and what? Find me. When ye shall search for me with all of your heart. With all of your heart. This is about totally giving your heart to God, complete submission to the will of God. And by faith, really trusting the God of the Bible in who He is and who He says He is. God will answer your prayers according to His will. But it needs to be some seeking, some searching after the will of God for your life. And then we can knock. We need to keep going. We need to keep searching. If you know you're asking for something in the will of God, keep going. Keep moving forward. Knock. Actively pursue the leading of God in your life. Don't stop. Like the woman kept asking and asking. She was persistent. She finally got rid of her adversary. We need to do the same thing. Actively pursuing the leading of the Lord in your life. Because if you knock, the door shall be opened. God said it. He promised it to answer our prayers, to show His will, and for these things to happen in our life. The only thing stopping us from God giving us those good gifts and a vision of His will is us. It's not God. We need to do some soul searching. We need to get right with God. We need to trust the Bible. We need to trust God. And we need to submit to His will for our life. And He will answer prayers. And He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And He wants to reveal that to you. And He wants to work in your life. Be careful. Be careful that you're not focusing on things in your prayer. And look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, right across the page maybe. Matthew 6, 31. Therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? I'm in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? You see? Why? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of all these things. He already knows our needs. Be careful not to always be full of care about the needs, your needs being met. Has anyone not had their needs met? Are not the cupboards full? Do we not have a ton of stuff to wear in the closet? Isn't God, a lot of that we've just gone out and gotten on our own. But God has made sure that every one of us has a house to live in and food to eat and water to drink. God's been good to us. We don't have to focus on them things. God will give us those things. He said, that's what the Gentiles seek after. But your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. Don't focus on those kind of things. That shouldn't be our focus. Focus on the will of God. What the Word of God says. And Him. Focus on Him and His will should be the focus. In verse 33 of Matthew 6 it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. See, our focus is wrong in prayer. Our focus is on us, not on God. We have to come into prayer focusing on God, not on ourselves. Selfish prayers will get you nowhere. It's the relationship of a father, a son, and his father. And that's what verses 9 through 11 are. He said, you give good gifts and you're evil. Will not God give good gifts? Because He is good. He is perfect. He is loving. God will give you good gifts if you ask Him. God answers our prayers. I mean, if that little boy said, Daddy, pick me up. Daddy, what do you think Daddy's going to do? If you cry out to God, don't you think He'll bend over and pick you up? He sure will. Where are you at today? What do you need from God? Is He not better than an earthly daddy? Yes, He is. You cry out to Him and He will pick you up in His loving arms. How God answers prayers. He answers prayers, no. He just says no. And many of you, maybe some of the teens know that when you've asked for something that wasn't the will of your mom and dad, you knew that they weren't going to let you go to that party. They said no. Why do you keep asking? They said, no. Why? Because it's not good for you. God knows what's good for us, so He says, no. So you ought to know your daddy. You ought to know your heavenly Father. There's some things He's going to say no to. Accept it. And don't keep asking for things out of the will of God. You wouldn't keep asking your father to go to a party that he says, no, you're not going. He says, wait. Every one of us in here at one time said, Mom, can I have a cookie? Wait, after dinner. It'll ruin your appetite. Which really it didn't ruin. If you had one cookie, it wouldn't ruin your appetite. But we all say that. No, after dinner. So is Mom or Dad going to answer that prayer? But just wait. So there's some things that God wants you to just wait. It's not time yet. It's not good for you right now. I think God knows what's going on. I think He knows what's going on in our life and when to answer our prayers. Or He answers, yes, help me to draw close to you. That's why I say, when you go to your Heavenly Father like it's just a child, God is not evil like we are. He's going to take care of you. He's going to pick you up. And he's going to watch over you. And he's going to bring you close to him and love you. Remember the relationship that you have with God. Don't forget this relationship. And finally, let God take the lead in your prayers. Let God take the lead in your prayers. Turn to Romans. I think we're going to be giving Pastor a break. Unless I talk like this. Real slow. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 26, the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Just leaning on God sometimes. Just letting God pray for you on your behalf. You know, we just need to see our weakness. Because we're weak. And that's what it says. Helpeth our infirmities. Help our weakness. Our littleness. See yourself little before a big God. And yield to Him in prayer. Sometimes I've just got on my knees and been speechless. I'm sure you have too. I just don't know what to say. I don't have any words, Lord, anymore for the situation that I found myself in, or my children, or somebody I've been praying for. Lord, I don't even know what to say. So instead of just chattering like a crane or some bird, just be quiet and let God pray. Because he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. You know, it'll be all right. God's praying for you on your behalf. Let God lead in the prayers. Sometimes it's good just to shut up. Just to be quiet and let God speak to your heart. As you're asking for forgiveness and cleansing, you just don't know what to pray. You know, just letting God pray on your behalf. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, probably all wondering why this rope's up here. Or maybe you weren't wondering. I don't know. Eli, come up here. You're a pretty brilliant guy. I thought about you in this. But you know, obviously I spent a lot of years as a rigger and a crane operator before I retired and came over here. But, you know, they taught us how to tie a knot. And it's called a bowline. So, just like that. It's an easy knot, really. You just flip that over there, and you go around there, and you put that in there, and then there it is. Right? It's pretty easy, right? If I gave you a book of knots, maybe you'd learn. Can you tie one? That is the most feeble attempt at a bowline I've ever seen. But that's what I did the first time, I think, when I tried to tie a bowline, you see. Hey, there's another way to do it. You can put that like that. And this is the rabbit. See the rabbit?
Yeah.
The rabbit comes out of the hole. He goes around the tree and back in the hole. You see? And there's the bowling.
Right.
You can do that, can't you? I'll do it again. Hey, right, you ready? Make sure the rope goes on top. If you do it underneath, it doesn't work. Where's the rabbit?
That's the rabbit.
That's the rabbit. What does he do? Does he go in the hole or out of the hole?
Out of
the hole. Then what does he do?
Around the tree.
He runs around the tree.
Yeah, and then in the hole.
In the hole again. And there's a bowling. All right, your turn. Come on, Eli. Not, hold it up, Eli. That's it. That is a bowling. You know, Eli could read a book of knots, but sometimes you just have to show him. Sometimes you just have to let somebody else kind of lead and help you to do something. Can you do this one yet?
Yeah.
All right, you can do it?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. This is good. Don't you ruin my illustration now. Go ahead. No. The way I did it. The way I did it.
Same one.
The one I just did. Not that one. Right. The one I just did. You got kidding. Put it in your hand. Look, put the rope in your hand. Like you had. Now, you take this one, and you put it over here. Now watch, you flip it. And there's the hole already, and the rabbit's already coming out of it. Right? And then you go around here, and back in here, and there it is. See, there's two ways. Go sit down. There's a couple different ways of tying it. So when they showed me that you could already flip it with the rabbit coming out of the hole, everybody's eyes went. And we had new kids come in, and they would be rigger helpers, and they wanted to learn to trade, and you'd do that, and they would just look at you like, you know. You give them a book of knots, and you try to let them to learn how to do it. But sometimes you have to take their hands and actually help them. That's what God does in prayer. If you let them. If Eli just submits himself and just yields and says, show me how to make that knot. I can move his hands for him. And he can learn how to do it by watching and just letting God do something in our lives. Let God lead in our prayers. That's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we should just get into prayer and just ask for forgiveness for our selfish ways. I mean, look, as a church, we want answers to prayers. We've got some big things that we want to do as a church for His glory, not for us, for God's glory. And we need to be right when we pray as a church this Wednesday. I'd love to see some big answers to prayer. And you also have in your life big answers to prayer that you want to see. You want God to do something. Well, God's not holding that up. We are. We need to praise Him and just see what He'll do. Answered prayer is the Spirit interceding according to the will of God. We know that's a promise from God. If we just let God pray on our behalf, that we have the promise of answered prayer. The promise. Just like Hannah says, 100%. Right? 100% that prayer will be answered. Assurance of God. Trusting the Lord. So, what's the conclusion here is just simply, we need to pray prayers of faith. We just need to trust God. Believe who He is. Lean on Him. Just like a child depends on their father. We need to ask for and submit to His will. This could be the stickler right here. Do you really want His will? Are you willing to obey it? Search out, find out what the will of God is in your Bible, and then obey it. Remember the relationship that you have with God. He's not an adversary. He's your Heavenly Father. He wants to give you good gifts. The only thing stopping it is us. And let God lead in your prayers. So the challenge is, do you want answers to your prayers? Do you want answers to your prayers? Then you need to follow Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus prayed in the garden, at the very point where He's going to go through one of the darkest days of His life, obviously, where He's going to have to bear the sin of the world, where He's going to be beaten unmercifully, and then separated from His Father in the sense that He was put on that cross, and for 3 hours He suffered for the sins of the world. And He knew He had to drink the cup, but He said, not as I will, but as Thou will. That's where we have to get to. Because God answers those kind of prayers. Prayers that are prayed in faith, and trusting, and believing in the will of God. Let's pray.